anybody that's actually been to Africa or Nigeria in particular, there's a hustler's spirit just oozing through the air, and it just runs through you straight away, and you're immediately grabbed to the opportunity and the people. Lagos is a completely different world. It's sort of, can't really describe it in words. Instantly, I just felt like I needed to be there.
Nigeria, especially Lagos, is a hotbed of energy. And in this very special 50 Faces Focus series, we focus on profiling inspiring people who hail from Nigeria. We hear from first and second generation Nigerians whose talents have taken them around the world, and some of whom have answered a calling to come home again. For many, life abroad as immigrants shaped their resilience and drive.
I have like very humble beginnings. Born and raised in a place in London, Southeast London, called Peckham, to Nigerian immigrants. And I say immigrants because, you know, they came to the UK as students and didn't leave. Set up a whole new life, a whole new world in the UK. It was really tough for them.
My parents were Nigerian immigrants who came to the UK in the late 70s. And it was sort of like two worlds, you know, being indoors was you were in Nigeria. And then once you leave the front door, you're back in London, in England.
And I remember one day my mum gets a phone call and says, Andrew, headmaster says you need to come into the school. And the teacher says to my mum that, look, Andrew scored one of the highest marks in a maths competition in the whole of London. And my mum was like, what? Are you kidding me? But it was that day, what the teacher said to my mum was, Andrew has potential. He just needs to figure out how to make it count.
We hear about some of the challenges of integration abroad.
So I turned up African-American with a funny name. I didn't get hired. The loneliness, the social isolation, the enormity of the work led me, after 6 months, when winter came, had never seen winter before, I essentially felt that I had made the wrong decision coming to the United States. And I called my dad back home and I said, you know what, I made the wrong decision. I think I'm going to come back and rethink this thing. And he said, no, you're not. You lay in the bed you make.
I got into university in Nigeria, actually, at the age of 15 to study industrial microbiology. But there was an opportunity to either go to Brighton to study pharmacy here in the UK or a scholarship to go to the former Soviet Union in the 80s. And I chose that one. I was used to kind of getting outside my comfort zone, but being in Russia was very, very different. Being a Black woman in Russia was absolutely crazy.
And we learn how these challenges sparked entrepreneurial spirit and opportunity for some in the field of healthcare.
So I started my own business. As a solo practitioner, grew that to a four-physician practice of African-American cardiologists. We grew the practice to about 50 adult cardiologists, the second largest in North Carolina.
And how they are using their skills to create an impact.
Patients of African descent make up about 17% of the world's population, over a billion. But Black people are generally underrepresented in the clinical trials globally, less than 3%. So I'll give you an example. Currently, 95% of cancer patients in sub-Saharan Africa are diagnosed way too late.
Some of our guests returned to Nigeria, and we asked them about their thought process.
When I was in the United States, I've risen to number 3 in the United States, and my team was highly regarded and highly rated by institutional investors. So it was a good life, and it was intense. I enjoyed my work. But then I had turned down two opportunities to come back to Nigeria to work for various entities. The third one that came up was the Nigeria Sovereign Investment Authority. And for me, before I took any role, obviously I had to go through what was a very simple 3-point test. You know, can I do it? Should I do it? And can it be done?
I know that I wanted to be part of the solution.
But there are also issues with integrating back at home.
I moved back to Lagos and I literally knew nobody, had zero friends, or didn't know how to get around, didn't know my way around. So I built everything from scratch, getting to meet people, getting to build relationships. And some of the concerns were things that I guess you wouldn't face in markets like London or in America. It was things like, hey, you're not married. So culturally, that was a big thing. You're not married, so we don't trust that you would be a safe store of our money or you're responsible enough to invest money for us.
There's a lot of buzz in Lagos. It's just nice to be back.
We talk about the tremendous opportunity that investing in Africa holds.
Africa is enormous. It's a population with 1.2 billion people and expects to grow another 800 million people to 2 billion by 2040.
There's so much happening here. growth of a lot of sectors. So real estate development is big. And not just from a commercial perspective, but also residential. And a lot of the companies have started to think about social housing as well as part of that, making housing a lot more accessible to more Nigerians. So that, to me, is a big area of opportunity. The agriculture is another area that's becoming big as well.
Technology, it's probably the most exciting thing right now in Nigeria and across Africa, because what tech is doing is helping us leapfrog a lot of things.
This type of cross-Africa direct investments is going to be very interesting in the future. Look for that to happen, not just in industrials, look for that to happen in technology as well. Because look, I have explored the idea of building an Africa cloud system, why not, in technology. Especially if you look across certain countries, South Africa, Nigeria, Morocco, we're building several megawatts of data center capacity.
We look at some of the challenges in starting a business in Nigeria.
So starting a company in Nigeria is very, very difficult. Very difficult. But it's also an advantage, honestly, looking back, because it's one of the toughest places to start a business of any kind in the world. So that forces you to automate and build interesting technologies, right? I think what Africa and Nigeria does for you specifically is to give you a proofing ground. It's like how military trains in the deserts of Nevada, right? And Arizona, that is one of the toughest places to train in. And once you've been able to do that, you might as well be able to handle any type of environment.
We learn the wisdom of their heritage and lessons that their adventures have taught them.
One of the things you did at the time, certainly with African parents who really, really put a lot of emphasis on education, is what career would you go into? And I wasn't thinking, I want to be an investment manager, or I want to be a doctor, or I want to be a lawyer. It was basically, I need a profession, and I need a profession that would impress my parents, quite frankly. My mom, even though she was born in the 30s, she was a high-flying career woman. She had 8 children. And she worked, the whole time. She rose to become a permanent secretary back home in Nigeria, which is a very rare thing. She was probably one of the first. There were 3 women at the same time who got that role. She was one of the first. My father was an architect. So, we'd drive around buildings, banks and so on that he had designed. So, from a very early age, we had these role models who we just looked up to. So I would say I was advantaged in that way.
I have a friend who always told me about being successful in Nigeria, which 3 H's he calls it: honesty, humility, and hard work.
Failure is not an option. I think I almost take that to mind, that I'm going to keep working and it's okay to try. Even if you fail, you can retry again and just keep trying. Pick yourself up and just keep going. And so I kind of live by that, in everything that I do, keep trying. Network. Don't be afraid to get a no.
Don't focus on no. Focus on earning your yes.
Procrastination is the killer of all dreams. You just got to go for it. I don't dwell on things.
Learning doesn't stop. You have to continue to learn. And you have to define what success looks for you.
In my professional career here, I stumbled around a lot and eventually got back onto the road towards the North Star. And I think that's the story of life in general. You seek to go to the North Star, the true North, and every now and again you go backwards or you go sideways, but as long as you can get back on the right path, all is okay.
So join us for these intriguing stories of struggle, persistence, and triumph from next week on the 50 Faces Focused Nigerian Voices podcast.